This is Microphone Check, hip-hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly.
I'm Ali Shaheed Muhammad.
And I'm Pusha T.
When you say all praise to the Most High on both sides,
mm-hmm.
I pray to God, I pray for heart,
mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Wow. It's a very terrible statement, but it's all praise to the Most High, meaning God, and meaning that I've prayed for, you know, drugs, hoping like it comes through and me, you know what I'm saying, selling them and so on and so forth.
That's real.
Totally. And that's a prime example of just feeling the beat. I don't even know why. When I can't explain it, I'm like, that has to stay. When I can't explain why all praise to the Most High comes out, then that's it. After that, then I just start writing.
All praise to the Most High on both sides. I pray to God, I pray for hard, I won't lie. More tired cause I'm dope tied. Convo and a boat ride. Rent a cars for the whole month. Drop Porsche money, no cosign. Yeah, my records ain't got to sell, nigga.
Bob Dylan says the most important thing to the song is the first line. The first line is the most important.
I believe.
A lot of people don't really, they just write the right or just don't really capture that feeling.
Right.
Like, you know it. Like, I don't know why, and it just has to stay.
That feeling is everything, man. I'm telling you. Like, and some people can dial in their whole verse. I feel like my true greatness will be when I can dial in my whole verse off of a film. I think Tupac probably was like that great at that. It sounds like he was. I mean, I don't know, but it feels like that. Jimmy Iovine told me one time, Tupac couldn't write a verse. He could only write a hook.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's what Jimmy Iovine called all of his verses, actually. He was like, man, all of his verses were truly just hooks. He could not write a verse.
Yo, that's flipping amazing.
No, and, that makes sense. And, it's so
But then
long.
When you hear him, and then when you just mimic and you don't know the words and you just hear the melodies and all the pops bars, it's like, wow, wait a minute. That may be right.
Yo, I'm just thinking about it. I'm kind of like messed up. I'm like, oh.
But he was dialed in to the feeling. That's what I mean. He's dialed into the feeling. When I talk about money, all you see is the struggle. When I tell you I'm living large, you tell me it's trouble. Congratulations on the wedding. I hope your wife knows she got a player for life. And that's no bullshitting. I know we grew apart, you probably don't remember. I used to fiend for your sister, but never went a bender. And I can see us after school, we bomb on the first motherfucker with the wrong shit on. Now the whole shit's changed, and we don't even kick it. Got a big money scheme, and you ain't even with it. Knew in my heart you was the same motherfucker that go toe-to-toe when it's time for woe, you got a brother's back. And I can't even trip, cause I'm just laughing at you. You trying hard to maintain, then go ahead, cause I ain't mad at you.
I don't never feel pain, cause I done felt too much pain. Money gone in the brain, blood flowing through my veins. I'm just doing my thing, getting money, got the grind, go chain. I don't never feel pain, cause I done felt too much pain. Standing in the brain, blood flowing through my veins.
First of all, I noted the Tribe shout out on Pain.
Oh, did you?
Ali did not.
Oh, man, what?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Come on.
She had to point it out.
That is incredible.
I'm so sorry. Yo, it's a lot of distractions this week.
Oh, my man.
Damn, friend.
Sorry.
Come on.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Oh, man.
There's still so many. I'm so sorry. There's a lot of distractions this week.
Don't quest like love. Came in this bitch with the mask and the glove. And a team of lawyers to run the drain on a judge. It's no risk without gain. It's no trust without shame.
What is Tribe? Like, what is Tribe for you?
Oh, man. Tribe just opened up just the colors and let me know, like, wait a minute, man. This is fresh. Like, you know what I'm saying? And it just let me know that, like, I didn't have to listen to it in just that capacity, just a street capacity. It was like, it was still fly. It was like, you know, man, I remember the Polo High Tech jackets, man. Oh. It just bothered, man. Like, come on, man. Like, it was so many things to me. Tribe was so many things to me. And it just really opened up, like, just the horizons of hip-hop to me.
There's something about the cleanliness of the sound that I hear on this album that I can also hear in Low End Theory in particular and Midnight Marauders. But then also there's the visuals around Low End Theory, the simplicity, like the decisions, and they stick to the decision, like that's there too.
Are you familiar with the big Twitter argument that we had?
No.
Oh my gosh. It was the Low End Theory. What? I have to ask you.
Uh-oh.
Low End Theory versus Midnight Marauders.
Oh, there shoot. It is. The eternal question.
Yeah, go on.
It started, hold on, it started at a Complex photo shoot.
Oh, man.
Me, Common, Tip, everybody. I mean, everybody. It spilled over to a phone call. Pharrell, Busta, spilled into Twitter.
Nah, I didn't hear about this.
Oh, man.
So what was the verdict? Man. What was the verdict?
I mean, I roll with Marauders. Common roll with Low End Theory, then came back and said, I think you might have been right with Marauders. Listen, he don't admit that. He ain't admit that, though. Not in an open forum. I said, well, you got to do it on Twitter. You got to talk it.
I think
Busta rolled with Low End Theory, man.
I could see
really?
That.
Even after Scenario?
But then he started naming, wait a minute. He tried to put Scenario Remix on.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You can't. No. That's what my point to you was. You can't add a record that won't on the album to your discography.
Yeah, that was way later. Sorry.
Like, chill. But it. All right, I'm sorry. But
I feel
anyway,
like I go Low End when I was younger, but now I would go Midnight.
I'm happy to be in a room. What
oh,
can
really?
I say?
You're not going?
Not gonna choose between your children.
Wow.
Come on. I'm like, why are you asking me that?
Because I have
to know. Because he asked Tip.
I asked everybody.
Yo, that's, I'm happy, yo.
And Tip went Low End on me, too.
I'm just like, yo.
He went Low End Theory. I was like.
He did? He answered that question?
Yes, he did.
I'm not.
I mean, I was like, we pulled up track. I'm like, so you're saying that.
I know why. I'll just say because, like, Low End was like, man, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about My Name Is My Name.
We're here to talk about hip hop.
This is true.
I'll just say, I understand why he said that because that was like the opening. That was, how do I explain this? It's like, I don't know if I could put words to the feeling of
do
of
you finally, agree with him?
He's like, yo, cut this.
I just want to know, do you agree with him?
Yo, I'm not. I cannot answer that question. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. It really is, because there's so many different things happening on that. You know, like, I don't know.
I mean, this leads into a question for me, actually, which is you talk about you make music for hip hop culture, hip hop shit. I mean, for this hip hop shit, what is that? What is that now?
Man. I think that the culture is everything that us as the youth, man, and us as the youth that came up on the message and so on and so forth, everything we were into, man, it's the music, it's the breaking, it's the fashion, it's everything, it's the slang, it's the lingo. I make music to keep that going. As an artist right now, my biggest thing is, A, I want to see hip-hop become one of the genres that tour like the Eagles.
Mm.
That's my biggest thing. Like me being in hip-hop for 11 years, I want to see who's going to be the first touring act and the first act to keep, you know, that I'm going to see on the back of USA Today. Mm-hmm. And say, you know, this year's biggest earners for touring. I want to see that. That's my biggest thing. And I feel like by being in the know and being a part of the culture and being a part of, you know, growing with hip hop, this is going to be one of the first years that I feel like, and I sort of feel like Jay-Z is sort of starting that, where, you know, you can see the older hip hop veterans don't look down upon what's coming up, what's new.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like that's why all my favorites from back in the day, you know what I'm saying, had left the game. Why they got out the game, because they were like, oh, I don't like where this is going.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm off it. I feel like we're seeing that it doesn't have to be that. We can grow with it, and you know.
Yeah, it's like having a vasectomy, and it's just like it is.
Yo, come on.
I'm just saying in terms of like the way that, you know, the older generation, they treat, you know, what comes after. It's like, well,
yes.
Have a vasectomy, and you don't. It's like you're killing the lifeline of just what preceded before you, which is so important, and you that's just so damaging.
Right.
It's so damaging because then the next generation has to pretty much figure things out for themselves. And
right.
then, and that's what it becomes. And then you become even more upset because
right.
there was no one before
there was no
me
guidance.
Exactly to help me figure it out. And I think it's the worst thing you can do in any position as a human being. You got to be able to look beyond yourself.
Yes. I'm just going to add to that by saying, like, I feel like lyricism and lyric driven hip hop, that does not go out of style. So I feel like if I'm going to do my part, because I'm going to keep those fundamentals in play with every year that hip hop grows. I don't care what the new trend is. As long as I can incorporate that, man, I feel like I'm doing my job.
20 plus years of selling Johnson & Johnson. I started out as a baby face monster. No wonder it's diaper rash on my conscience. My teeth and ring was numb by that nonsense. Gemstar razor and a dinner plate. Arm and hammer and a mason jar, that's my dinner date. Then crack the window in the kitchen, let it ventilate. Cause I let it sizzle on the stove like a minute steak. Nigga, I was cracking the school zone. Two beepers on me, started jacket that was two-tone. Four lockers, four different bitches got they mule on. Black Ferris Bueller cutting school with his jewels on. Couldn't do wrong with a chest full of chains and an arm full of watches.
So in terms of the fashion aspect of hip hop, you have a store. Is that true?
Yeah, I got two stores and a clothing line for the past 5 years.
What inspired that?
Well, the clothing line is called Play Clothes, and it honestly was inspired by the We Got It For Cheap mixtape era with the Re-Up Gang. We were going through a terrible time with the record label. We had just been moved over to Jive. We were arguing back and forth. We weren't putting out any music. This is before Hell Hath No Fury. Mm-hmm. And we put out those mixtapes. And luckily, early on, the clips were embraced by Nego from Obey the Nape and that streetwear line. So I would go do these shows. It'd be 500 kids, man. This is all, you know, We Got It For Cheap is just internet frenzy, college frenzy. 500 kids in there, and I walk in, and they'd be like, wait a minute, you know, you got on the general jacket, one of one varsity or whatever. Now, mind you, I'm just getting this stuff free from, like, I wasn't into it like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? I like the clothes, but I wasn't into the hype beastness of it. Like
it was just what you were wearing.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And we had been embraced early on by him, so it was all good. You know, that birthed BBC, you know what I'm saying? But mind you, all these people are just this close to us. So it's not real. I'm supporting my homeboy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, once I saw the kids taking notice like that, I was like, man, you know, I should really, you know, really start a line. And what happened was there's a warehouse in Virginia. These kids, they were responsible for a couple of lines, Azure and Schmack, and which was a streetwear / skate line. And the owners would let me come to their warehouse after work and keep all the staff. And with that, I would bring all my clothes.
Wow.
We'd make a whole mood board of just clothes, pictures. I remember playing I think it was either Heaven or Hell or Can It All Be So Simple, showing them the Snow Beach era of Polo. You know, just things like that. These kids are young, graphic kids. You know what I'm saying? And just brought all that together, and you know, we decided to do a line, and it was great because these guys were used to doing, like, you know, just commercial, you know, chain stores. Oh. And we built it out on a boutique level, my line out on a boutique level. And it was, you know, it was good for them to just see that aspect, and the owners to see that aspect of the culture and see where it was going. And now they're like, wait a minute, you know, this is what it's about. And, you know, that the stores were built 2 years after that.
Wow.
And one is it's called Cream. It's in Norfolk, Virginia, and one is in the mall. And that is more just streetwear, the origins of streetwear, Stussy, the Hundreds, you know, Ice Cream, things like that. And then there's the other one's called Cream as well, spelled C-R-E-M-E. And that is high-end Versace, Marcelo Boulan, MCM, the Tier Zero Nike account, things like that.
Is that as challenging of a business as the music industry? Or is it you find it easier to direct?
It's easier to direct. It is. The only problem is acquiring accounts sometimes. And okay. And that's when you're dealing with the higher end stuff, because some accounts don't want to be next to other accounts. You know, and I find myself taking it very personal.
Yeah.
Like I was denied for a Givenchy account.
Really?
Right? Now. Now.
That seems strange.
Like, you know, those who know, like, man, the type of support that they've gotten from me. And
the just number of times you've mentioned
and the crew and the you know.
Does that make you go, all right, F you, and now we're going to do our...
I just sold all of it. I did.
Was there an attempt to have a conversation to kind of, like, fix their way of thinking?
Man.
Or was it just kind of like, oh, word, all right, cool?
No, it was... They sent me this, like, really nice email that said no. And I was like, this can't be. No, I couldn't take that. I couldn't accept that. And maybe, you know, I wasn't asking for anything, you know. I have other brands that are, you know, top tier too, like, you know.
Didn't seem crazy.
I wasn't asking to, like, you know, take your brand and put it, my brand isn't in the store.
Right.
Right.
That I was, you know, mm-hmm. asking them to be a part of. My brand isn't even in there.
Got it.
Like, at all. So, yeah, I took it personal. Maybe I shouldn't have. But I definitely did.
I mean, what kind of frustrations do you have? I mean, I think a lot of people probably look at your life and be like, you get to travel all the time. You know,
I don't like traveling.
Okay, so that's a frustration.
I don't.
Or
I actually don't.
Get to say, like, you get to meet famous people and, like,
yeah,
get free drinks backstage and stuff. And
I'm trying to stop drinking, actually.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't have my frustrations are, you know, they all come from just being an artist. And they come from, you know, dealing with the politics of the record business. I've been in this game for so long now that I feel like it's not even about, you know, spending all the money on my marketing and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I think we all just have to come to an understanding about how to roll out a project. Hmm. I feel like it's so, like, people are afraid to speak open and honestly, you know.
Yeah.
And with that, things get lost in this game. And I'm not that type of person. Like, with how things work today, virally and the lack of video shows and just all of that, I feel like a manicured, timely grassroots campaign can work for me, just like the $2 million that they may spend on your project marketing it.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you from the journalist side of things, all the different things that people try out, like the different iterations of the various premiere plans or packaging or whatever, it makes my life harder, and it means I don't get to pay as much attention to a smaller, worthy project.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm not sure really what people are trying to say all the time either.
Yeah, it's a bit much. I mean, that's the frustrating side to me. Like, we are in an age where information and everything is so obtainable, so accessible, man. And I think it's just more so about, like, just locking in and sticking with a plan and sticking with your core and your base. I mean, that it's not too many of us that are really trying to do that.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear, like, at this stage, you know, what is this, like, your seventh record?
No. Three records is Eclipse. I mean, we got, you know, numerous mixtapes, you know, a crew album on Koch, and a street album, another street album that was done through Decon for myself solo-wise. So, yeah, I mean, I've been a part of a few different, I've been around.
And you've been successful, and it's just to hear that, you know, through... still, that this is the conversation that you're having.
Yeah.
It's disheartening, but, and I say that because, like, you know, Tribe used to go through the same thing. You would hear it in our records, our frustration. And after proving yourself, and you go around the world and you help people make millions of dollars, and you still continue to establish yourself and acknowledging your ground, your base, all the time, and making sure that you service the people who are going to be there every time.
Right.
And you pay so much attention to that, which continues to show what the campaign is about when you focus on it wholly, and you still don't get that faith from the backers.
Yeah, 100%.
It's frustrating just hearing that that's what you're dealing with at this stage.
Very frustrating. And it still happens, man. You still, like, you know, you still go through these things.
So what drives you then and motivates you to keep making music?
Man, my music helps so many people. I mean, just in my circle, family, the fans themselves. Man, I love writing. I love performing. I love seeing people. Like, you know what I'm saying? As much as I hate getting on planes every day, when I get there, when I get on stage and get to be in front of my fans, it all goes away. And I'm talking about my frustrations for the whole day go away.
Mm.
So, you know, I don't complain about it because, you know, this business serves its purpose for me. And, you know, you got to find other outlets, you know, to keep things moving and so you don't go crazy.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I love my stores. Like, you know, I love play clothes. I you know, and it's just other ventures that, man, I'm about to take tennis lessons, yo.
Really?
It's pretty dope.
Yeah. Like,
let me know if you want to play. I keep my racket in the trunk of my
really?
Car. I'm not that good, though. I am.
Oh,
yo,
okay.
It's just a good exercise. He's like, really? Nah.
No,
don't.
Stop. Where is this going to happen? Because I'm going to send a video.
Yeah, we could go to Fort Greene Park. That's where I play in the summertime. Perfect. Just, you know.
Yeah, like, I'm like, as an artist, man, don't let the music, don't let the business make you bitter or anything like that. Then you have to leave. Because you don't want to sit with that right here.
Yeah.
You don't want to sit with that on your heart, man. Like, you gotta leave it alone.
Did you dream of becoming an MC as a kid?
Not at all.
Word.
Like, not at all. Like, I had no desire.
Did you want to be Teddy Riley?
I just wanted to be his friend. His friends had MPVs. I wanted an MPV. Like, purple ones with TVs. I was like, yo, I tell everybody, I wasn't rapping at all. I wasn't rapping at all. My brother was a rapper. He was known for rapping around the area. His DJ and producer was Timbaland at the time. And this is middle school, eighth, ninth grade. Mm. So I'm in, you know, fourth grade. As he gets older and Tim starts branching out, and I think he went to work with Jodeci and mm-hmm. that whole camp. Mm-hmm. Me and my homegirl, you know, just my childhood friend, she introduces me to Pharrell. Pharrell likes her. I'm not rapping at all. Me and Pharrell just start hanging out. You know, he likes her and starts hanging out with her best friend.
That makes mm-hmm. sense.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then weeks later, he says, yo, wait a minute. Your brother's Gene? Rapping Gene from the beach? And it's like, yeah. He's like, yo, you got to get him to come to the studio. And I'm like, nah, man, my brother, he worked with dude. Like, you know? He's like, no, but I know, but, you know, you just got to get him to come. This is, you know, this is all over the course of years. But I still wasn't rapping. Always around it, though. So then when I did hook them up and they got in the studio, you know, that was just the everyday occurrence. I was like, man, let me write me a verse. Watch. And it happened just
classic
like that.
Classic little brother moves.
Yeah, totally. Like, totally. I've never took the initiative to, like, write. He took the initiative to just recently write a book. Like, I would never take the initiative to do things like that. Like, write raps? Why? You know? But it's being around him and being the little brother. That's where the rules came from. That's why, okay, that's whack, that's not whack. That you know, I learned all of that. Then, you know, you get in the studio with my brother and these other guys who produce, and they're, you know, they're showing you structure. Mm-hmm.
So, you didn't have a dream to become an MC.
No.
So, do you have a dream now?
Wow. That's a very tough question. I do dream to make it in this industry to the point where I can help others and begin to, like, really carve out where I feel like hip-hop should be. Hmm. Like, I truly want to see hip-hop be... I feel like it's the youngest genre. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, with it being the youngest genre, I want to see it be as big as all these other genres that are praised, because it's the only genre that I will never, my generation will never, I don't think I'll ever put any other music before it. Mm. So I need to see it all the way through. I need to see it in all of its splendor. Like, I see these, you know, I see rock bands and all, yo, I just saw Foreigner on Queen Latifah today. And I'm just like, man, you know,
a lot of people, actually, they're not around. The crazy thing. You know, some of these pioneers, they're no longer here, which I don't know what that says about just the challenges that, you know, we who, this is our culture. It's our right. lifestyle. And it came from not having and, you know, not having opportunity and just, right. you know, oppression, city government, legislatures, all these things that just made it impossible for us to take the next step from what our parents and our grandparents were trying to build. So, you know, we took a dive. So we created an art form where we're talking about it, but at the same time, we would, you know, become victims of the very thing that gave us the spirit. So yeah. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of pioneers, they're not here because, you know, the lifestyle, the culture just, you know, sucked them up.
Took them under.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that may be one of the reasons. And there wasn't any organization like it is now. Like, you can really see what can happen. You know,
right.
look at what Jay's doing, what Kanye's doing. So that's, I guess it's a, you know, it's evolving to becoming stabilized and empowered.
It is, but it bothers me that I think hip-hop has been here for 40 years. I feel like we're only at the second level of moguls. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I'm Russell, Lior, Rick Rubin. And then after that, it's like Jay-Z and Puff.
Right.
And that's it.
That's it.
It stops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That can't be.
Right.
You're right.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I want to be a part of the growth of that. So then there's another set. Not to discredit the indie CEOs and so on and so forth, that sold numerous records, and you know, the Master P eras, and mm-hmm. even the Cash Money mm-hmm. and with Baby and Slim, like. But I feel like that's still not the level that I'm talking.
I feel you.
I feel like, you know what I'm saying? You. And I feel like I want to see more Ruben Lee or Russell, Puffy, Jay-Z. It needs to still, you know, yeah. we need to keep yeah. those. I don't want just those two just to be the only ones, and we need more.
I like your dream. I like it.
Grow the industry.
I have a friend. I'm really good friends with Tony Draper from Suave House Records. He's just a very, very insightful individual. And with all that he's been around, all that he's seen, the ups and the downs of the industry, it's always been built, and the foundation of it was always a grassroots thing for mm-hmm. even his success. I feel like that. I feel like it should be that way. And then, you know, it just grows and builds. And as long as those steps are being made, it will ultimately explode at the top or whatever. But it's like, we got to keep pushing that.
That's
we have to keep pushing that.
It is hard. Like, it just is. But there's enough people that love it. And there's enough people that respond to high quality.
Yeah.
Undeniable level quality.
Yeah.
And that's what builds it, I think, these days.
Yeah, I'm watching it. I think the cycle's coming back around.
Yeah, because like, you said that. I was like, man, we just took a major hit for a decade at least.
Yeah. But look at it. It's coming back around.
Like even you said, there's no music to roll your windows down and bump it to. So, yeah, we kind of, it's an interesting cycle.
Yeah. I want to go out on like a slightly higher note. So, I don't know, maybe you could tell us the story of one of the songs on My Name Is My Name.
Okay.
I don't know, what's your favorite?
Wow. You said a higher note. Man.
Talking about favorites.
I think I would have to say that my favorite record on the album is called Snitch.
S.N.I.
The Pharrell joint.
The acronym Snitch. Which is stands for Sorry M Word, I'm Trying to Come Home.
Sorry, nigga. I'm trying to come home. Yeah, sorry, nigga. I'm trying to come home. Well, the walls are talking to me, and I know you think I'm wrong. But sorry, nigga. I'm trying to come home.
Now when the phone start to click in, your words start to echo. Say you gotta hang up, but that man won't let go. Oh,
it's the truest story on the album. And essentially, I got a phone call from a friend of mine in jail telling me that this would be our last time speaking, because he made the decision to cooperate with the police. And he couldn't take being in jail and doing time anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just telling you, we not gonna speak, cause you know I can't do it no more.
Yeah.
So there goes your higher note, but.
But I mean, that's how you end the album, right?
Right.
So
right,
you got.
Right.
I mean, that was.
Right.
That was your move. That's like, it's a big move.
Yeah, and you know, I got the call, and I actually called Pharrell, and I was like, listen, tell me, am I like analyzing this right? And I told him the conversation. He was like, yeah. He was like, that's his gift. He's like, that's his gift to you. And he was like, but it's a song. And I said, nah, that's a terrible song.
Wow.
A terrible song. He was like, no. He was like, it may be a terrible song, but it's a true song. And you know what happens when you write those type of records. It's going to be that pain. It's going to be amazing. And so he was like, well, listen, just think about it. And at the time, I was asking him, I said, listen, the only thing I'm missing on my album is a long kiss goodnight or a you're nobody till somebody kills you type of beat.
Damn.
So he was like, I'm going to just work on the beat. And, you know, you just think about it, because you need one of those stories anyway from what you told me. I said, okay. He called me 2 weeks later, and I'm at South by Southwest on the street. He was like, sorry, N-word, I'm trying to come home. And I was like, what you mean? He was like, no, that's the title of it. And I was like, okay, okay, I like it. He was like, nah, you don't feel me. He said, man, it's the acronym for snitch, man. I was like, oh yeah, you the GOAT. Like, you the GOAT. You are the GOAT. They're like, am I the GOAT? Are you out of GOAT? I was like, you the GOAT.
Let's talk real niggas, let's speak real nigga. How many niggas you know snitching you ain't kill nigga? Covered his own tracks, he didn't care that. We had a legacy he killed, I got to wear that. Every move we ever made is getting stared at. I bet the man inside his mirror doesn't stare back. Break your heart when a man you call your brother be the same when it's set in motion all them undercovers. Called my mom, mother, was at my graduation. When I signed my record deal, you was my motivation. From great friends, now it's no affiliation. Divided by the time he was facing. Once he told me that,
sorry nigga, I'm trying to come home. Sorry nigga, I'm trying to come home. I think the feds are looking through me. Can't you hear it in my tone? So then sorry nigga, I'm trying to come home.
It's my favorite record. My favorite record. I'm really, you know, the story records aren't usually my favorite records. But this was one of them that it really hit home. And, you know, the, in the third verse of it, I've been saying to people, like, I don't necessarily want to hear rap anymore that doesn't give me, I mean, if we're talking about the streets, we can't just, like, glorify it. We have to tell the whole story.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, well, I can't listen to raps that don't acknowledge that cooperating and informants are like your crew that you've told me so many jewels and diamonds and Ferraris and so on and so forth about. Nobody went to jail and nobody cooperated.
Right.
I can't listen to that anymore. Like, it hits home too much. So the third verse of it, I was talking to, like, everybody, like all rappers, all boys who be out here who, you know, they everybody glorifies the lifestyle, but nobody, you know, nobody has ever put themselves that close to their man or admitting my man who can call me and to tell me he's never gonna call me again. And I gotta do what I gotta do, and that's just it.
Yeah.
Raise the bar on honesty.
Yeah, so it's like, man, you know, we got to, you know, we got to, you have to know that story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to.